It is January the 29th, 2016, and you're moving at the you're moving at the speed of creativity with Wesley Fryer and Shelley Fryer in a very loud pub in Oklahoma City. Well, hey, the music is actually not playing right now for a brief moment. This is like super geeky, but I guess I'm just getting more comfortable with that. Shelly, I think, has had the ultimate first blogging day. I don't know. She's had a really great day, and she's been telling me all of this stuff. And so I just wanted to interview her while it's fresh on her mind. What happened today in your classroom?
Oh, great. Leave that to me. All right. He's just jump right in there, honey. We're at a great Oklahoma City bar called The Barrel, and we'll make sure we get that in our show notes and give a shout out to them. So I am enjoying my glass of wine, and talking about the great experience I had getting my kids on KidBlog today. We've done some blogging before, but this was a day where I just really challenged them to go deep, and we did a lot of app smashing. I don't know, where do you want me to start?
Okay, so why don't we just start with one of the stories? You said at the end of the day, when you guys wrapped up, one of your kids said a pretty remarkable thing.
Well, I think, no, you can't start at the end of the day. You have to start at the beginning of the day. All right, let me start at the beginning of the day. So Fridays are going to be blogging days for us. We do our reading stations 4 days a week, and so Fridays is always kind of a catch-up day. Also, Fridays are crazy days at Positive Tomorrows because it is Force Friday, and the kids are beside themselves with excitement for what Star Wars characters might show up and what movie we're going to watch, and can they play with lightsabers at recess. And so first thing in the morning, I know I need to get whatever accomplished because the rest of the day is pretty much fun and good times. So anyway, today was blogging day, and we're going to start blogging on Fridays because we are doing so many amazing things. This week we went to the zoo, and we're working with a Metropolitan Library System, and they're going to be writing a book about our experience at the zoo. We've also been doing some fun, super awesome things in Maker Studio with Squishy Circuits and Makey Makey. And I want the kids to have an experience to write about these things to deepen their learning.
And for people who don't know, what are Squishy Circuits? What is Makey Makey?
All right. So I think CodeSpark puts out the Squishy Circuits. I'm not sure. Maybe. I probably got that wrong. So
we'll add a link to it in the show notes.
But anyway, we've been talking about insulators and conductors. And so Play-Doh is a conductor of electricity, and it's squishy. So we've been making bells ring and buzzers buzz, and building creatures with lights that light up, you know, eyes that light up, little LED lights. So we were working on the squishy circuits, and then I've had these Makey Makeys for 2 years now, and I've never gotten them out of the box because I just felt like I needed to know how it worked before I did it. And I've realized it with kids, don't do that. Just give them the box and sit down and figure it out together. And so anyway, but that's a whole STEM.
So now that you've done the Makey Makey, how would you tell an adult who has no clue at all what it is, you know, how do you explain it?
Well, you have your different components. You have what I call the motherboard. I don't know what they call it, but I call it the motherboard. That allows you to control a game. Like, we were working on some of Scratch Junior games. They were playing Super Mario Brothers or Pac-Man, or in one case a piano. But they were using, rather than using the keyboard to control, we were using Play-Doh conductors to control. I mean, like, one day we used Play-Doh, one day we used bananas, one day we were going to use foil today, but I couldn't find any in the kitchen. So, but you're using that to connect your electric circuit, to complete a circuit, to manipulate the controls in a game. So, but this is not a STEM podcast, honey. This is Kid Log.
That's right. So you were having your kids write about the exciting things they've been doing, and you've been doing great stuff.
Yes. So their assignment was is that they needed to write about something that we had been learning about or something that we had done in the last few weeks.
Yeah.
So they also had to, this brought up a whole lot of great discussions about how to get, you know, outside sharing. So we were sharing to an outside audience, and it wasn't just, you know, inside, but it was outside the walls of our classroom. And how do we get people to read our things and the things that we're learning? And so,
because up to this point, you've been doing inside sharing with Seesaw, right? Is that what
yes,
they've been doing?
Yes, we've been doing a lot of inside sharing, and we share with our mentors, and we share with our parents, and we share with our classmates. So we've done a lot of inside sharing all year, and so we're ready to graduate into outside sharing. And so, okay, you asked me a question. Now I forgot what I was saying.
So your kids were in the morning. We were going to start for 3 hours.
Yeah.
It's going to be blog time.
So we started looking at, well, what makes somebody want to read your stuff? Well, it's the picture that you put on it. So we talked a lot about images, and we've worked a lot on taking pictures and collecting pictures, and we have photos for class, and we have our classroom Flickr site, and we have different places that we get pictures. And so we've worked with these apps in our photo roll. So we talked about the importance of pictures. So they're, what I challenged them to do today was to think about something that they wanted to share about, to share out to the world, to tell others what we've been learning, and then attach a picture to it.
Now, I have to interject here and ask you a question. Why does it irritate you so much when you go to a classroom blog and you see every single post is what I got for Christmas or something like that?
Yes, because there were several, I've been looking at other third grade classroom blogs, and I get really excited because I think this will be an awesome opportunity to share. But then when I go in, like the title of everybody's blog is the same title. Every student is writing, but you know, you have to filter through a dozen MLK projects with no picture attached. There's no personalization. Now, at the end of this story, I'll know why teachers probably do that, because that is so much easier to do blogging that way. But for me, I want my students to have a real, we're talking about communicating with people. We're talking about eventually someday they're going to want to, so we had the
real
whole,
stuff,
yeah, real stuff,
like
real voice.
This
exactly. I wanted them to really know that we're doing for real writing. And so you have to treat it like it's for real. And so, and we had a lot of conversation about digital citizenship as well, you know, about telling the truth. Like one student said, I want to talk about politics. I want to talk about the election. I said, okay, that's really great. I said, but let me tell you, there are certain topics that that are high emotional topics. And I said, if you're talking about politics, you need to be very careful of your facts, and you need to be very careful of your opinions. I said, because I will be moderating your comments. And then I told the story about when Sarah did that reflection on
President Obama's
address when she was in the horrible, nasty, filthy comments that she got back because of that. And so we talked about there are certain topics that you if you're going to talk about them on the internet, you need to be careful. And then there are certain topics that you don't talk about on the internet. And then we talked about don't talk about sex. And, you know, yes, my students are 8 and 9 years old, but I think it's very important that there are certain topics that you do not talk about on the internet. And we talked about that.
Good.
So we had an awesome conversation. So essentially we spent 3 hours this morning doing nothing but getting ready to blog and then blog.
And so, tell a little bit about your journey with this, because like, you wouldn't have attempted this 2 years ago.
I wouldn't have attempted this before Christmas.
So what's happened for you to be ready to do this today?
I think, today I probably, it was a good learning experience today. I wouldn't actually recommend what I did today as a good workflow.
You do it differently if you did it again?
I would definitely do it differently. I dumped a lot on my kids today. They were having to do some incredible app smashing, getting pictures, saving pictures, cropping pictures, adding pictures, you know, in an unfamiliar environment that they had never worked in today. And so they were able to do it, and I knew they could do it, but it was definitely a challenge for them. And, you know, I just wrote a post about independent learners. Well, today they were so... They were so needy. Yeah, I was really having to really guide them through. And I wish now I would go back and do it a little bit different and maybe break down this into different pieces. But I'm really happy with the results.
All right, I'm going to talk for a little bit so you can eat some of our appetizer, which just came and I've been chowing down on. So I've worked as an instructional coach helping teachers use KidBlog and get started with blogging. And generally that has happened in the computer lab. One of the things Shelly and I talked about earlier was that, I mean, she really kind of like took a huge bite out of the sandwich of blogging in kind of one fell swoop. But her kids have been very experienced with iPad literacy, and they were ready for a lot of that. But as I've introduced blogging and worked with teachers, oh, awesome. Great. Thank you. I have usually, introduce the just kind of a sandbox lesson where students either take a short poem or something like that that they've written, and we're getting everybody logged in where you know, with our usernames and passwords, which can be really challenging, you know, the first time you do that. And then students are commenting on each other's posts, and we are, I'm having to approve those as the teacher, and I'm in there as a co-teacher with whoever I've worked with as a instructional coach. And so a lot of that is just learning the mechanics of here's how it works, here's how we log in, and then talking about comments. But, you know, what you kind of end up with are a bunch of posts that don't really say a lot. Well, I mean, maybe they do. Maybe it's a short poem. But it's a lot of comments that don't say a lot. And so as kids who are excited and they've learned about it, and I really think that is a valuable progression to think about possibly doing. But what Shelly ended up doing was really emphasizing the writing. And, you know, if you go to her website, which you can get to the KidBlog by just going to her classroom website, classroom.shellyfryer.com, and then click the KidBlog link. She's actually changed. This fall she started with writeabout.com, which is a very, you know, good blogging platform in many respects. And it's unique in the community that it allows you to have, because you get to share stuff to the whole community of writeabout, not just your own class. But she's ended up emerging from that experience thinking it's maybe a little better for older students, like, you know, maybe middle school or upper elementary rather than hers. So, anyway, her kids did a whole lot today in terms of the, you know, talking about images, talking about, you know, digital citizenship. I love that. I love that whole conversation, because that's one of the most important reasons to do blogging and to do interactive writing with your kids, is to have conversations about digital citizenship and to have meaningful conversations, not conversations that are out of context, but conversations that are in context when it's like, yeah, this is, you're writing this. And so you want to talk a little bit about the purpose for writing, because you were really strong on your kids getting them to write with quality, right?
Right. I think the most important thing is the students have choice in what they're writing about, and giving them that choice. I have done it. I have started blogging before and used science to encourage them to write about, you know, the experiments and things that we were doing. This time it's pretty much revolving around, I guess, science, because we've been doing the electricity stuff with the STEM stuff, and that's really exciting to them. But we also just went to the zoo, and so we had a lot of cool zoo pictures. And so, but I think getting the students to write, one of the challenges is they need to have experience with these things. Writing comes from experience and having something to share with that. And so I think that's a very important part of the writing process.
So Shelly is basically speaking as the living reincarnation of John Dewey, because Dewey was all about education as experience, and too often we're very fakey in school, and what we need to have are real experiences. And she's very blessed at her school that they can go have a lot of field trips and do a lot of things that many schools don't have opportunities to do. But do you want to talk a little bit about, now all of our food and the music and all this is going to affect my ability to keep a track of thought going. I know your kids at the, we want to talk about the end of the day of what they said, but there was another thought that I had about something else that your kids had said or that they had done as far as doing the writing. I don't remember what it was.
Let me talk, because I think what Wes and I are going to start working on is a good workflow for what this looks like, you know, as far as, you know, choosing the right picture, choosing the right topic. You know, I really think today my students would have really benefited from an anchor chart, yeah. An anchor chart to help them kind of segue into the different areas, and that would have made this assignment so much easier. Also, you know, we learned that you be careful when you start adding photos, because I had several students that, you know, they lost everything that they had written, and that can be very frustrating.
And we talked about how they can write on an iPad in the Notes app, and that'll automatically save it. But
yes, but I just was thinking that, you know, that's just another app to bring in and smash into it. But we can also, we talked about saving it as a draft before we start messing around with it. Save it as a draft so that we will have something to come back to in original form.
Okay, you have to tell the story about what happened at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you had your meeting, and you shared, and what did some of your kids say?
Right, so we had all 11 students of mine today successfully blog and attach a picture, and in one case, attach a movie clip. So that was huge. Everybody was successful today, and everybody was proud. So at the end of the day, during our classroom closing meeting, we had a show and share time. And so we even had the kindergartners, some of them were in our classroom for show and share. And we got to look at our classroom.shellyfryer.blog. I drilled that into their heads today because .com. What'd I say?
.blog.
Anyway, .com. And I drilled that into their heads today because a lot of my students will have access to the internet at different places, whether it's at the library or McDonald's or whatever. And I want them to be able to find their writing. So we're having our show and share time. We're looking at everybody's blogs. And one of my students said, "This is the best part of our day." I mean, we had just played lightsabers and had Star Wars characters, but for him, the best part of his day was when we were able to show and share what we had done that morning. In fact, it was funny when I said, "Okay, I want to show and share the work that you did today." And one student said, "Work? You mean we did work today?" And I was like, "You spent 3 hours blogging this morning." You know, I sure felt like it was work.
Okay, so I'm going to let you eat some of this amazing schnitzel that just got delivered. So what Shelly just described is called a flow experience. And if you have not, I guess, I mean, I haven't even read the whole book. I've just read essays. I own the book because his name is almost impossible to speak. But it's like Mikhail Csikszentmihalyi or whatever. It's such a hard name, and I'm totally butchering it. But he was the researcher, the psychologist that defined the flow experience. The flow experience is what happens, and we've all probably, everyone listening to this has had this with reading, right? When you lose yourself in a book, you lose track of time, you are completely in the moment, you know, and you look up and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, it's just, you've lost yourself. That is called flow. And so what Shelly described today is that her students got into a flow experience, you know, and they were so engaged. I mean, she told me earlier that they had, you know, looked up and said, "Oh my gosh, we missed, you know, recess, or we missed, I don't know, snack time or something." And you'd never schedule.
And one student, when we were kind of debriefing the whole activity, for him, the writing part was the easy part. It was everything else that was hard. I mean, you know.
That's a classic quotation. The writing was easy, you know. So, hopefully you have a sense of how exciting this is and why I wanted to like to record this, even though we're like handing the iPhone back and forth as like we eat these chips.
It is our date night, honey.
Yes, it's date night. And we're sharing it with you, which, by the way, if you are listening to this podcast, tweet us. You can tweet Shelly at S Fryer. You can tweet me at W Fryer. So it's S F R Y E R.
Have them go look at the podcast.
Well, actually, podcast, yes,
whatever,
the blog. Please leave comments for Shelly's kids. Cause again, this is like their main entree into outside sharing. And part of what she's been talking to them about, and part of what's cool about being a connected educator and, you know, connecting to other people is being able to, you know, invite other people to come look at stuff. And honestly, we have no clue how many people really listen to the podcast. The way I...
Probably not many.
Yeah, there's like five people. So, John Spencer, baby, we know you're out there. and Cindy Leonard Coon's probably going to listen. Eric Langhorst is going to listen. Well, you're right. I mean, unless somebody tells you, you don't know. So, there's about like 800 people that subscribe, but that doesn't mean people listen. What's even better than giving us feedback is to give our kids feedback. So if you want to go to her classroom website, classroom.shellyfryer.com, you can click kid blog and then you can leave comments for the kids. You know, I absolutely love empowering students to recognize that their voice is important, that the words that they say, whether they're saying them in person to their neighbor or they're writing them, or, you know, however they choose to communicate them. I think that's an egg.
I know, I just noticed that.
Yeah, it's kind of weird. We're looking at our schnitzel, so sorry for that. The words they say matter. You know, that's Angela Myers. You matter. And the words we say matter. And that's a digital citizenship lesson. And so
And the feedback that they get matters.
The feedback they get from you, that's right. I mean, I have loved using the comments for kids. If you don't know Will Chamberlain, he's a Missouri educator, and he started a project a few years ago called Comments for Kids. And it's the word comments, the number 4, and then kids. It's a hashtag on Twitter. And so teachers around the world are using it to share their student work. I used it tonight when I... But Shelly actually posted a blog post on her kid blog, which was also, you were saying, you want something to communicate to your parents. So I'm gonna hand this to you, and I'm gonna eat some of the schnitzel. You don't need any more schnitzel?
No, I'm good about podcasting.
Well, I was gonna ask you about your parents, because you got some feedback from parents, and I was saying, like, how did you do that? Did you share to Seesaw? Because if you don't know, Seesaw is a awesome app and website where you can do great, mainly inside sharing. It does allow for some outside, but basically it's your kids to privately share, be able to share pictures, videos, you can comment, you can, you know, add audio comments, and then when a parent has subscribed, they get a text message that something's been added to their student's Seesaw. And it's like a portfolio. Well, when Shelly told me she'd had some parents already comment on the kid blog, my question was, how did they find out? Did you post a Seesaw? And she said no. So how did those parents find out?
So that is one of the biggest challenges, is communicating with parents in my population of students. So I drilled it into the kids' head where to go to read our kid blogs, where to go to see it, where to go to show it to their parents. And it is on our classroom webpage, which we call our home base. And so I had two students, well, they're twins, so same mother, but that went home, and already their mother and a friend of theirs have commented on their, they've seen their work. They are excited for them and given them feedback already on their writing. And I think that is huge, you know, to have that another opportunity, another place to connect with parents in a real way with the work that their students are doing and the excitement that they're learning.
So I think we are both pretty excited and energized about the day you had and what happened. And I'll talk a little bit about why I'm excited about it, and then I want to ask you to elaborate on why you're excited.
And then can I be finished?
Yeah, then we can finish. And we can just eat and put this slight device away. But hey, this device, we're using this device socially. It's not like an isolating moment here. Although, we got to make sure. My iPhone had like 10%, and I put it on airplane mode, so what do I have? Oh, I still have 10%. Wow, it doesn't use much when we turn off all the Wi-Fi and the connectivity. Okay, one of the reasons I'm excited about hearing all of this, and that's what's so cool about just our life and our relationship right now, is we're getting to share these things together, is it's very affirming to me that things that I have been excited about for a long time and I'm encouraging teachers to do, like, that I'm not a Fruit Loop to encourage that. Like, it's real. There's real power in this. There's real
Sometimes
authentic.
You're a Fruit Loop.
Well, I am a Fruit Loop, but I mean, it's just good. It's inherently good to get kids excited about communicating with media to an authentic audience. it's not just about, oh, I wrote a sentence and I punctuated it right and I capitalized the sentences, you know? How many times, and I've been guilty of this, teaching fourth grade, and this is kind of some of the stuff I was told. I mean, all right, everybody, we're going to do a how-to about writing a peanut butter, about, excuse me, making a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. I mean, maybe that gets somebody excited, but I don't think it does, actually. I think it's one of these things that's easy to do. And with teaching, just because it's easy doesn't mean it's right. Okay? With math, I mean, I'm, you know, elementary math teacher. In fact, Rachel didn't know that this week. I was helping Rachel do, well, I mean, it was actually the factor label method of of solving word problems. But we were just talking about, well, cross multiplication. She's in sixth grade, and she didn't know I had ever taught elementary math. She's like, "Really, Dad?" You know, I've been guilty of this, right? It's easy to say your homework is 1 through 20 even. Go, you know, and that does not make it right. That is not a good way to teach math. So just because we have these easy ways of giving kids prompts. Which actually, shout out to Brad Wilson and John Spencer. I'll put links to their Writeabout website and to the Writeabout app that they have for iOS. Part of their passion is saying, let's make writing authentic for kids, you know? Let's not use the word prompt. Let's talk about ideas or, you know, I got to sit in John's session at Miami Device this last November, which was just awesome. It is so cool to get to connect face to face, by the way, with people who are passionate about things that you're passionate about. So anyway, this is just really affirming to me that this whole idea of getting kids to write, you know, not just sharing inside, but sharing outside. Talking about the audience, talking about the images, having a conversation about digital citizenship. Like, this is all doable stuff. And so it's very cool and very fun to get to help, you know, kind of be, I don't know what I am, Shelley's advisor, or there's a lot of hats that I wear.
You're my husband, honey.
I know, I'm your husband. But anyway, but it's like, you know, I'm kind of being a coach to you too with this. And so it's like, it's just so cool when the things that you're passionate about, you know, your mentee goes and does and then gets, you know, and then sets kids on fire and is excited about it. So that, to me, that's one of the most exciting things. What is exciting about all this from your standpoint? As you've worked with your kids, you saw them and you had this experience today.
Well, I think what's most exciting is that we're beginning to develop our voice. And I think it's important to share our voice with others. And, you know, Cindy Dennerkoon at Kansas State University has had her students reading our blog and taking a look at some of our blog posts, mine specifically. And it has encouraged me to be a better writer. When I know that people are actually reading, it has encouraged me to write.
Feedback,
yeah. And so I do think that that's a really important part of this whole process. And so...
Talk about your kids. What are you excited about that your kids did today or they said today that was exciting?
I think I talked about that already, honey. No, I am excited that my kids are excited about writing, that nobody complained about it. It was hard.
Oh, yeah.
It was a struggle.
That was what I was trying to think of before,
yeah.
Was that you haven't had your kids for a while saying, oh, do we have to? Is this for a grade? Why haven't your kids said that?
Well, I think they haven't because I give them a lot of choice. Today I didn't say, okay, everybody, we're going to write about our Martin Luther King, I Have a Dream speeches. Or today, everybody, we're going to write about our zoo trip. Or today, everybody. My students have choice in what they're writing. They are equipped to make those choices. And I had one student that wanted to write about politics today, and that brought up a whole huge discussion. And he knows a lot about politics, and he is very interested in it. And I let him. But we talked about that, you know, we talked about making sure our facts were straight, and we talked about being careful about sharing our opinion, and we talked about all of those things, and it is real world writing. We were writing under the assumption that somebody would be reading this, and we wanted them to read it, and we wanted them to comment, and we wanted to attract them, and we talked about asking questions, and we talked about engaging with our readers. And I think, to me, that was the most important thing. That made them feel powerful. My students felt powerful today, and they wanted to do it, and so they weren't complaining about, do we have to? I will say that, yes, I only have 11 students, and I probably put too much on them today, and I would make the chunks of learning smaller this time. I think if I was going to do it again, I would start today with just the writing. Just like Carter said, the writing part was simple. So we would get in there and we would just write about our zoo trip, or write about no pictures, no anything. And then the second day, we would probably learn how to attach the pictures. Because even though my students are very comfortable with photos for class and getting and saving pictures to our camera roll, it was a different format. And so they were having to learn a new app and a different format. So I would save that for possibly the second day. And then the third day, we would read each other's, and we would begin commenting on each other's. We would read comments that had been given to us, and then we would comment on each other's. So I think I probably would have layered that a little bit better, or I would have saved it for when my Title I teacher is there and had smaller groups so that I could work with them. But this is a problem too. Like, I do have support systems in writing, and we've been writing a lot this year. But, you know, teaching other people a new app is, I mean, adults, it's hard to learn something new.
You talk about your assistant and how you thought you really scared her today.
Yeah, my assistant is absolutely wonderful, and she helps me out a great deal. But I think I even blew her mind today. And I don't want to scare anybody off from this experience, because this experience was very valuable. And I don't know that I could have done this 2 years ago. I feel very equipped now. But it was challenging. And it was challenging with the kids to not let them give up and to push forward. And I felt for, I had 3 students who lost all their work, and we had to start over
one
from
you
scratch.
You recovered, wasn't it?
One I was able to recover. In fact, it was so precious. One student, he had his whole blog post written, and it was wonderful. And he was ready to attach his picture to the actual post.
What did he write about?
He started to write about one of the Star Wars character. He was dressed all in red, and then he ended up writing about Darth Vader and Anakin Skywalker. And so we had to go back and change the title of his post, because the title needed to reflect the actual post. And so he had all this ready, and he went off, and he was attaching his picture, and somehow lost everything. He brought it up to me practically in tears, very upset, and I was upset for him. It's hard when you put that much effort into something, and then it just kind of disappears. So luckily, I fiddled around with it, and I was able to recover it. And he looked at me. It was like magic, and I recovered that. And I said, "Camson, I've got it." And he looked at me, and I said, "Do you love me?" And he said, "Yes, I love you." I mean, and he gave me the biggest hug. So because he didn't want to lose that. He put a lot of effort into that. And so I was not able to recover 2 others. We were having issues with our iPads, too. So we did a heart restart today, and our internet was a little quirky this morning. And those things are going to happen. That's messy stuff. We know that. But there are a lot of valuable lessons in this today. And it is tough for some students. But we have that kind of relationship in our classroom, where we work hard and we are tenacious and we don't give up.
So we're all on a journey. Everybody has different experiences. You know, we've all entered into this digital world of creation in different ways. Everybody is basically a digital consumer, like, right? I mean, everyone watches TV. Well, not everybody.
I don't know how many people listen to podcasts, honey.
Okay, that's right. But I just mean, like, the natural place where you begin is consuming. It takes intention to say, I'm becoming a creator. And so Shelley is on a journey. I'm on a journey. Everybody is on a journey of how do we use these devices to not only consume, but to create and to share. And sharing is so important. So I'm going to try to say this next part without crying or becoming overly emotional. But I have to give a posthumous shout out to Bob Sprankle, because he's been on my... he's been on my mind a lot. There was an article today, actually, about his wife Jody, and some advocacy that she is doing to try and change things in Maine for others. The reason I'm doing the shout out is
because he has inspired so many people. He's definitely inspired me and influenced me. And I think the stories that we are collecting and hearing talk about people that have been listening, he was definitely early on. And you know, he made an impact not only in his students and the lives of his students and their families, but also, to so many teachers. And I think it's very powerful. And he was a person who was creative and who was believing and sharing, and that's huge.
In 2005, you know, the way I learned about Bob, this is tough. What do you do when you're being emotional? Think about something else. In 2005, I learned about Bob through David Warlick. David Warlick, amazing educator, amazing books, used his books teaching pre-service teachers and in-service or, you know, graduate students at Wayland Baptist University at Texas Tech. I guess I had to make sure we're still recording, which I think we are. And so he was featured in the New York Times because he was podcasting with his students, and his podcast was Room 208. Well, by coincidence, Shelly's room just happens to be Room 108, you know, and as she was making her podcast, she said, well, we're going to be Room 108. There's so many ways that by sharing our ideas, we can pay it forward. So some of the excitement that we feel in all this. No, hold on, don't pass it away. I'm gonna eat that. Some of the excitement that we feel in all of this, I mean, it's the result of other people who have paid it forward. Right. Who have been willing to share. Right.
A legacy.
You know, I mean, it costs us nothing to turn on my iPhone here and to record this on Ferrite. Shout out to Joe Dale of the Isle of Wight, you know, in England. We've never even met before. But it costs us nothing to record this. It's gonna cost pennies. It's gonna cost fractions of a penny a month to share this online on Amazon S3, which is where I host the podcast, which we have no idea how many people download it. But there's so much value in sharing and being able to, you know, be connected to other people, be connected to what they're doing, their real classroom. So anyway, we've probably talked long enough, and we probably need to wind this down, and I hope that the background noise hasn't been, you know, too overpowering where it's made this hard to talk about. So I'm going to toss it to Shelly because I want to eat the rest of this amazing schnitzel.
You were winding down. I am. We
no,
finished.
You're going to wind down. I'm going to let you wind it down, baby. Well, I'm going to give you a last question. See, it's going to be challenging. So what are you going to do next? You've done all this exciting stuff. This has been like an awesome day. For you, what comes next? That's my last question.
All right. My next thing I'm going to do is order a second glass of wine. So I'll be doing that. And then as Wes and I are developing this idea of inside and outside sharing, I do figure it'll probably be a book someday that Wes will write and I will dictate. But I think our next step with all of this is to get this ready so that other people can do this and get that workflow down so that many students will have an opportunity to authentically share their learning with others. And it doesn't require having a one-to-one iPad, and it doesn't require, it just requires having experiences and allowing students to have their own voice, and it allows, you know, allowing students to share out to a broader audience. And so I do think that that is critical. And I do think that it makes children feel like what they're doing is real world learning. And I think in everything that we do in the classroom, we need to be preparing them for the world that they're going to experience outside. It doesn't mean that every child is going to become a broadcaster. It doesn't mean that every child is going to become a reporter. It doesn't mean that every child is going to go to college. But every child needs to know that they matter and that their voice matter and their opinion matters. And I think that's the legacy that we need to pass on, lifelong learners. I would like another glass of wine, please.
All right, so let's wrap up by telling people how to connect to us. I'm going to do a shout-out for a new podcast series. Well, we're publishing this on my main Speed of Creativity podcast, which hopefully you found at speedofcreativity.org. But I was so excited this Wednesday. It's been like years in the making to start a new podcast with Jason Neifer, who is absolutely one of the Yodas of educational technology in my life, even though he lives in Montana in Bozeman he doesn't live in Bozeman, he lives in Missoula now. And I live in Oklahoma City. But our podcast is called The EdTech Situation Room. So CNN with Wolf Blitzer. Jason even has a beard. He is Wolf Blitzer of the educational technology world.
Now you're just showing your weirdness.
I know. I like voices, so sorry. But that's what podcasts are fun. You can have a voice and nobody can see how, you know, what we look like. So you can find that at edtechsr.com. And we just have one episode. But the last couple of years, we've done the EdTech Year in Review. And that's been fun. Direct messaging today on Twitter to try to, you know, figure out, are we going to do this next week, or are we going to wait 2 weeks, or what are we going to do? But it's going to be some kind of regular podcast that we're going to do. So shout out for that. Also, shout out for, and I'm going to have you tell your website, so you be ready.
I have already told
you got to tell them about all
ShirleyFryer.com.
You have more than that, though. The other shout out is going to be for, what was I going to say? I was going to say another shout out. We did edtechsr.com, and there was something else I was going to do a shout out for. All right, well, I'm forgetting what it is. Where can people find you online? Besides your classroom.jellyfryer.com.
I am at sfryer on Twitter. And I think that's it.
You have a blog, too.
Yeah, but what is that? I forgot. ShellyFryer.com.
See, that's why we're saying it many times, because we got to say it. And Shelly and I are going to be at ISTE in Denver this year. So that's at the end of June. I am very, very humbled and thankful that I have three proposals that were accepted. So we'll do a poster session. I'm probably going to rope her into helping me out. So there'll be a poster session about show with media, I think. I don't know. There's a lecture session, then we're doing an app smashing to YouTube. So anyway, if you were going to go to ISTE.
I think you're doing that.
Ooh, I think I'm going to rope you in.
I'm going to be in the room with
the
all
bloggers
the vendors.
Lounge?
No, I'm going to be in the vendor.
Oh, you're going to be in the vendor hall. Okay. Yeah. You'll be talking to Seesaw. All right. So anyway, please do reach out to us. If you want to do a evaluation on iTunes, the Speed of Creativity podcast is on iTunes. I'm going to try to be a little bit more regular, and we want to just encourage you to share. We'll do a shout out for the Digital Sharing Conference that's going to be coming the first weekend of November 2016, this year. It'll be hosted at Cassidy School, my school, and I'm pretty sure that's like November 4th and 5th. It's the first Friday and Saturday of the month, and I will be getting that information out. Also, there are some other dates that have now been solidified. I'm going to be doing a SimSeeds workshop in June, the first Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday of June. And you can find out about that on camp.stemseeds.org, and I'm going to have the registration for that up. I'm actually going to Brazil in March to do a two-day version of that at Graded School in Sao Paulo, which is, like, amazing. And I just got my ticket confirmation today, actually. I haven't even told Shelly about that. And then I'll be doing an iPad Media Camp the second week of August, and I'll be posting that. But you can also host your own iPad Media Camp this year at your school, because I'm going to do a Dave Ramsey Financial Peace University style video-based iPad Media Camp. So you can pay to have access to those videos, which I'll be creating this.
And I have a new comment on my blog.
Ah, very good. She has an email. anyway, you can check that out at iPadMediaCamp.com. And I'm working with a few other folks to see if they'll be willing to, who've done the iPad Media Camp with me before, who've trained it and done it, to see if they'd be interested. So if you're interested in bringing that to your school, it's a 3-day hands-on workshop where teachers who participate get to be students and create not only narrated slideshows, but quick edit videos, green screen videos, and then participate in interactive writing using Book Creator to make ebooks and websites like KidBlog. Yes, you can check out the iPad Media Camp. So that is my last closing thought. Do you have a last joke for us? What did you share at the end of iCamp when we were at K-State? Do you remember what you shared as your wrap up?
It was a long time ago, honey, and I'm on my second glass of wine.
It was like 2 weeks ago.
Say goodnight, Gracie.
People are gonna think we're luscious. Okay. All right, well, it is date night, but this has been fun, and you can tell how excited...
This is the way we bond.
Yeah, well, you can tell how excited Shelly was, and I was like, we just have to do a podcast. So I hope that... thank you if you've listened to the end, we hope you have a wonderful rest of your day wherever you happen to be on planet Earth, and just remember to share more. Sharing is caring, and the Digital Sharing Conference is... Remarkably enough, digitalsharing.org. So check that out, and we'll hope to see you at ISTE or at the Digital Sharing Conference or, you know, some other time soon, or see you online. So adios and hasta luego, amigos.
Oh, you stole mine. So may the force be with you.
Moving at the Speed of Creativity podcast are independently produced by Wesley Fryer and are licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution Only license. Learn more at www.speedofcreativity.org.